Awesome.
Yeah.
I tell you, that is good to do. Amen. It's so fun to honor in general, but it's so fun to honor our sons and daughters as they just have a major milestone in their life. I just got to move that back. It's good to see you. Happy Father's Day, dads. Pretty cool, right? This is the day to be a king, right? Woohoo! Pretty cool. I hope you have just great plans, and just I'm so grateful for the dads. My own father, who's here this morning, but also the other dads in my life, my father-in-law, and the countless men that have helped shape me. And it's so fun now being a dad that I get to be part of that in other people's lives. And so that's pretty cool as well. But dads, happy Father's Day. You know, I was thinking of, you know, videos. We always do something kind of fun. And I thought, you know, I'm a pretty, I like to think I'm funny, but I think I'm funny. But I thought on, and a few of others may think I'm funny, but I thought on Father's Day, probably no other day of the year can I tell bad jokes and get away with it. And so I had a couple inspirations. And so I just wanted to do just a couple, just lighten the mood a little bit, a couple dad jokes. So here's the good thing about dad jokes is I think they're meant to be funny, but if they're not funny, it's okay, because if you groan and be like, oh, that was really bad, that means that was probably a good dad joke. And so I get a lot of these from my kids and different ones. So I just got a few dad jokes for you dads on Father's Day. And if you don't think these funny and you're not a dad, like, I'm sorry about that, but we're just going to do some dad jokes. So my first one is, did you hear the rumor going on about butter? Never mind, I shouldn't spread it. All right. Hey, there we go. All right, we're just warming up. No, oh, you got it? All right. What do you call a pony with a sore throat? A little horse. Okay, all right. How about, I'm sorry, this, I can get away with this on Father's Day, so just bear with me. a little risky here. Who never toots in public? A private tutor. This is my favorite right here. What did the buffalo say to his son when he left for college? Bye, son. And I don't know why I'm doing this one. But why did the chicken coop have two doors? Because if it had four doors, it would be a chicken sedan. Yes. So dads, tell your jokes, get away with it, because there's no other day that you can. But you can today, and we love all the dads in this room today. And now I may need to, like, repent and say, God, would you forgive me for those bad jokes in your house? But that's all right. Well, I'm really excited to share. I get to share a little bit, and then I'm going to have someone else share with me as well that I'm super excited about. But, you know, there's lots of different angles on Father's Day. You know, we specifically want to take time on Mother's Day, on Father's Day, to give honor. I think it would be so easy for us to just move on and get on with the next thing that we should be doing on Sundays. But the Bible is so clear about giving honor where honor is due. And I believe if there's anyone that deserves honor, it's the mothers and it's the fathers that are in our lives. Amen? And so we specifically take time to honor dads and to honor moms on those respected days. And hopefully that it's not just like once a year that we do it, right? Hopefully that it's something that we do regularly because it's in our heart to do. It's not just because. But I was thinking about the different things. And Father's Day, I don't know what it is, but I think traditionally, you know, in my mind, when I think about speaking to dads, I think about, well, I'm going to challenge them, right? And I'm going to call them up and I'm going to, you know, I might scold them a little bit because they got to, you know, probably my least favorite phrase in the world, they got to do better, right? Well, what does do better mean? I mean, really, when we're talking to dads, or I could come up here and just tell you how, give you all examples of all the great things that I'm doing as a dad to make you feel really probably good about your fathering or really bad, but I'm not going to do that this morning because my heart is to honor. Because our dads are worthy to be honored. And I think in a culture and in a society that is trying to maybe devalue the role of a father, I think it's so important that we say, dads, we need you. Dads, we're proud to call you dad. Dads, we honor you. A few weeks ago, or maybe it was months ago, we talked about basic needs that we have as Christians. And we started talking about the basic needs that we have as humans, right? Air is kind of an important one. Water, or shelter, clothing, and probably the fifth one. If it's that important, I should remember it, but I'm not remembering it right now. But we talked about the different needs, and I believe that those aren't just needs that we need, but I believe that there's another need that is probably just as important as those physical needs, and that is truly there is a need for fathers in our world today. Okay, there is a need for fathers in America. There is a need for fathers in Maple Valley. There is a desperate need for fathers to be present inside the church for the next generation today. I believe that if we miss it and we lose our dads and we lose the spirit of fathering in our church, not just generational hope, but in the church of America, we will lose the war. We will miss it completely if we miss the spirit of fathering. And so I am so just convicted and just so just passionate about seeing our fathers walk as fathers today, because it's a need. It's not just, oh, that'd be cool if there was men in church. No, we need to have the spirit of fathering active and alive today. You know, there's lots of misconceptions about fathers. In fact, I believe that the role of a father is under attack today. I mean, you even see it, and we can make jokes about, you know, the typical dad, right? If you Google search, you know, the image of a dad, you're going to see a guy with socks and sandals and jean shorts and Oakleys and a fanny pack and some soft around everywhere with the dad bod, right? We all know what the dad bod thing is. But I don't believe that there's a shortage of just men. I believe we're missing something in the spiritual level, right? We're missing the spirit of a father. And this isn't new. You know, in 1 Corinthians, you can turn in your Bibles with me. But this is something that has been going on and on for eternity, that there is a desperate need to see fathers rise up inside the church. So this is the apostle, and he's writing to the New Testament church, and he says it this way. He says, I'm not writing you these things to make you feel ashamed. Listen, dads, this morning, there is no shame, right? Whether you've been a pretty perfect father or you've been a terrible father, there is no shame this morning in God's presence. So these words are not to give you shame, but they're to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became a father to you in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. Listen, our world does not need any more knowledge. Right? We don't need another Bible scholar that is going to break down the word for us. Okay, we don't need any more. I'm so grateful for the teachers in my life, but we don't need any more people that can just teach really well. Okay, we are beyond that. Okay, what the Bible says, it says, we don't need another guide. How many of you know if I want to learn how to do Christian living, I can Google it right now, and I could probably come up with 100 different ways to guide me in my walk with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? We don't need another, well, how do I do it? What we need, and what the Bible is saying is, we need fathers. Okay, we need not males, we need fathers. Okay, fathering, there's a lot of misconceptions. What is it? I'll tell you this morning, fathering is not scolding. Right? Just because I can scold with the best of them does not make me a father. Right? Father is not shaming. Okay, fathering is not shaming when people mess up. That is not fathering. That's not even to be mentioned among fathering. How many of you know sometimes as a dad, I find myself being the policeman, right? Being the referee, being the, when they do something dumb, which happens at our house on the daily, or on the every minute sometimes, it just depends. But that does not make me a father, the fact that I can scold them and the fact that I can discipline them really well. Right, that is not what makes me a father. Listen, Being a father is not being Captain Obvious. Oh, well, you have a bad attitude right now, son. Well, thank you. Right? I get it. Right? He knows he has a bad attitude. That is not being a father. Can I just say this morning that being a provider is not fully being a father? Because I know plenty of guys that provide for their families, but they are not walking in the spirit of being a father. Right? So just the fact that we provide for our kids does not make us a father alone. My personality is very unique, and you know, I have a really hard time. I don't know if any dads are like me, but I have a really hard time being present in the moment. Any other dads have that with me? Where I get so focused on what we need to do, when we need to do it, the schedule, the you know, what's coming up next, that a lot of times I have to be really careful and thank the Lord this morning for my beautiful wife that she helps me be present, because it is so easy for me to get into what I'll call, you know, dad mode, to keep everything moving, and I'll miss the heart of my kids in the process if I'm not careful. And so it is so easy as a dad to focus on the behavior. Right, dads? It is so easy to look at what our sons and our daughters are doing or not doing and focus on that and try to make improvements on those things. But in doing that, it's so easy to correct the behavior but miss the heart. I want to read now the same scripture I just read out of 1 Corinthians 4, the same scripture out of the Message, which is a paraphrase. And it says it this way, because I believe this is I understand it a little bit more, and it says this. It says, I'm not writing all of these things as a neighborhood scold just to make you feel rotten. That is not the purpose of being a dad, is to make others feel rotten. I'm writing to you as a father, my children. I love you, and I want you to grow up well, not spoiled. There are a lot of people around who can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong. Right? There is a line waiting to tell you what you've done wrong. But there aren't many fathers willing to take the time and effort to help you grow up. It was Jesus that helped me proclaim God's message to you that I became your father. I'm not, you know, asking you to do anything that I'm not doing myself. So if I were to break it down this morning, the heart of a father is this, and I was reading an article this last week about the missing link of spiritual fathers in the church. How many of you know our pastors in our church, but pastors in America, they need a spiritual father? Okay, everyone needs someone in their life that is in a father-type role to them. And there was this article that said this, and I break it down. The heart of a father is this, where you say, wow, I'm grateful for the fruit that has grown on my tree, right? Meaning I'm grateful for the things that I have. I'm grateful for the things that I know. I'm grateful for the things that I've learned. But it's time to grow fruit on other people's trees. Okay, where you look at your own life, that is the heart of a father in a nutshell. You look at your own life and you say, I'm so grateful for what I have, I'm grateful for what I've learned, but it's time for me to give it away, and it's time for me to see fruit grow on other people's trees around me, right? Spiritual fruit we're talking, okay? Listen, fathering is not an age thing. Can I tell you that you can be a father at 15 physically, but even spiritually, you can be a father to those around you even before you experience a natural fatherhood for yourself. Okay, so fatherhood is not an age thing. How many of you know it's not even a parent thing? Right? Because fathering is a heart thing. I believe at the core of what it is, being a father has everything to do with what's inside at the heart level. And so if you are a young father, I want to encourage you to allow the fruit that God has blossomed in your life to be an example to others. The scripture says this. It says, that I just read, it says, I want to love you and I want you to grow up well. Listen, that phrase, grow up well, has everything to do with what we're called to do as fathers. Because there is a big difference between growing up and growing up well. Right? To grow up, my kids don't even need me present in their life because it is just going to happen with every day that they live. They will grow up. But that is not what we're called to do as fathers. It's not wait till they get 18 and then, well, hopefully they figure it out. No. There is a difference between growing up and growing up well. You know, it was funny when I was, our kids are getting older, and some things have changed, but some just haven't. But one of the funny jokes, and I think it's funny, I don't know if my wife thinks it's funny, and I don't know if it happens, well, it still happens a lot, but she will go out for a much-needed mom break, and she will leave me, and I say it babysitting, and she's like, you can't say you're babysitting your own kids, right? Well, I'm babysitting my kids. She's like, no, you're not babysitting. They're yours. Okay. So anyway, so she will go out, and I think it's funny, but she will come home, and the kids will be mostly asleep, some of them in their beds, some of them asleep on the porch, on the couch, not in a pull-up, not in jammies, didn't wash their face, dinner's still on their face, the dinner is still on the table because I fed them. That's a win, right? I fed them. Don't forget that, people. Dishes are a mess. I'm passed out on the couch. And she says this, at least they're alive. Right? There is a difference between growing up and growing up well. Listen, spiritual parenting is not just, oh, well, they made it. No, there is something that God wants to deposit to us men today that would teach us to see our sons and daughters grow up well. Amen? Grow up well. Grow up well. You know, as a dad, I learn a lot of things. And one of the things that I learn is you can do a lot with duct tape and super glue. Come on, it covers a multitude of messes, doesn't it? And so I'm not a big Gorilla Glue, you know, I mean, it's all right, but it has the best packaging that you can see from where you're at. So that's what I have. But I was thinking, what does it take to be successful? What's the secret sauce? I want to read this in Colossians 3. We've spent time on this scripture the last few weeks. And it says this, starting with verse 12. It says, put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against you, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Verse 14, and put on, and above all else, put these on. Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Listen, at the end of the day, we can do everything that we're doing as dads. We can walk in kindness. We can walk in humility. We can walk in meekness and in patience and in more patience and in more patience. But above all else, put on love, which binds everything together. Listen, that word binds is this, which gorilla glues, which glues everything together, meaning you can do all those things. You can have humility. You can have patience. You can have kindness. You can be compassionate. But if you don't have the glue, then it won't stay together. If you don't have the love, which binds all these things together, then when the storms of life happens, what's going to happen to your family? It's going to fall apart. It's going to break up. Listen, through the hard times, love will hold you together. I'm not talking just superficial love this morning. I'm talking about the love of God. Okay, I believe this, that love is the thing that separates guides from fathers. Right? Guides meaning spiritual teachers, knowledge. Love is the thing that separates. A few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, every Sunday morning we have at 9 o'clock a team huddle. And if you've never been a part of a team huddle, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But every Sunday we meet with everyone who's volunteering. And we probably have over 25 volunteers every single Sunday that help make Sunday mornings happen. That's pretty cool. And so we do a little huddle, and we talk, and we do a little encouraging message, and we talk, and we all get on the same page. It's like a football huddle. Okay, break. Now let's go, and let's be the church. And so a few weeks ago, Carrie Ann, our amazing Carrie Ann, who is sometimes she is like the glue that holds us together. She is amazing. She brought a message for the huddle, and I thought she needs to share that with the whole church because we're still talking about what she said in that huddle. Where is Karen? There she is. And so I'm going to have Carrie Ann come up, and she's going to continue to preach with me today. So would you welcome Carrie Ann this morning? Ryan, will you get her that microphone? Thank you.
Good morning. Okay, this is out of my comfort zone, but I'm being obedient, and I'm going to cry because they're happy tears, and when God's moving in my heart, I cry. So I just first want to say that God loves our fathers well, and he has from the beginning of time, and that has been his intent from the beginning of time to love our fathers well, and that includes all of us this morning, that he loves us well. And I'm going to read this scripture. It's John 15:9, and it's the Passion Translation, so it's, you know, not the NIV. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves you. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. God's greatest attribute is love. And he wants to have that with us, and that's the greatest gift that he's given us. From the beginning, that's what he was saying to us, like I said earlier, that he loves us well. He gave his one and only begotten son to come and be love for us and be love to us. And Jesus even said, listen, I came to serve you, not be served. And that's so powerful when you really think about that in the role of being loved is there's so much that has to do with service in loving others. And I just wanted to say that little bit and then just remind us in this verse where it says the first part, I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. When you nourish something, you have to feed it. You have to do something to cause it to grow. And that's what I believe God is saying to us is like fathers and all of us included, like you have to let the love with inside you grow. You have to let something happen in your life where you get in a position to say, I'm going to let this love grow. So this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the strength to love well. And that's not an easy task all the time. That takes strength on our parts to love well. Because I can be honest, I don't have the grace that Jesus had. And that can be really hard as a parent. And I only imagine it's very hard for fathers because fathers are made in such a way that they are doers. And they make plans and they're logical. They think things through and they know how they want their children to do things. They know what the goal is for their children. And that can be very difficult when you are especially a type A personality and you are a planner and things don't go the way you want them to go. And in raising our kids, that is difficult. But the thing I'm reminded of is love never fails. And parents also have to understand that if you know that you are loved well, you're going to be able to love well. And in those moments when the difficult times come, you're going to be able to filter through those things and with love handle those things. So here's my little example. So many of you know my dad. My dad, Pastor Dave Easterly, who's pastor here for many years. And he's a strong leader. And if you don't know that about him, then you probably haven't worked with him or been on a fishing boat with him or a missions trip with him. But he's a very strong leader, and he was a strong father. And his yes was yes, and his no was no when we were being brought up. And, Dad, happy Father's Day. I haven't even got to tell him happy Father's Day yet. But he's a strong dad, and a strong leader. And some people don't like that kind of strength in their lives. Some people kind of balk at it. But, you know, my dad earned that in my life. And he earned that because from a very young age, he captured my heart. And it's because he learned and taught himself, I believe this, what it was to be strong and to love well. He learned how to put the two together. Because love wasn't always just like the fuzzy little things, and it wasn't just like, be patient with it. It, you know, there was strong moments too when he had to toe the line in my life. But he loved well, and he had the strength to do that. And I want you to just, I just want to say that I don't remember a day in my life, even to this day, that my heart hasn't been for my dad. Not one day, even when I had rebellion or when I wanted to do my own thing, I can't remember my heart ever not being towards my dad. And I honestly believe my dad knows that, that I've always had a heart to honor my dad and always have had a heart to hear what he has to say. So this is what my dad did in our house to be somebody who learned to love us well. Very little, young age, I remember little things like him in his busy life slowing down for a moment in time to play fort with us underneath the table. And that was awesome. And I totally remember those times of him just taking the time to make fun in the midst of a busy day. The other things I remember is, this is really special to me personally, is my dad took his first little church in a little town in Eastern Washington, and it's called Warden. Some of you probably were like, where is that? But it's a small town. And one of the things I remember is it was a small church, so my dad had to take a job also at the public school. And he was a bus driver, and he cleaned the school, so he was busy. And I remember my dad taking enough time for us kids that he would just say, you know what, you're going to come with me tonight to clean the school. And he would take enough time to just let us be a part of what he was doing, even in his job. And the other thing that was really special was this, is like if he had to drive the school band, all these high schools across the state to a parade somewhere, he'd be like, okay, you're coming with me, Carrie Ann. You know, he didn't just leave me at home with mom. And here I am sitting on this bus as a little tiny, like first, second grader, sitting there, all these high school kids behind me, and I'm going across the state with all these kids, and my dad's taking them to their parade. Those are the things my dad did very little. I mean, when I was very little, he took time for me, and he recognized, even though he had responsibilities, that he made time to make me a part of that, which was really good. So then as I got older, it got a little different. So Carrie Ann's in middle school age, and I can remember these kind of days very, very well. And I mean, I was a strong girl, but my heart was always to my dad. But I remember when I started just to care about things outside of our home, like my other friends and my social life. And I can remember when, you know, my heart probably wasn't in the best place. And I can remember my dad doing things like this. He would take me out of school for 2 days, and he'd say, come on, we're going to go up to the mountain, and we're going to cut wood. Seriously, he would. We heated our house with wood, so we needed wood. But that was a strong strength, Dad, and that loved me well, Dad, because he knew he needed to get my heart, and he needed to get my attention. So he said, you know, what you're getting fed right now outside the home is not what I want feeding you. So he took me with him. And of course, I'd be hauling up wood, packing up the truck, working hard, and work does people good. So that was a good thing. The other thing that my dad did is he would do unplanned dates just out of the blue. He'd say, like, let's get in the car. We're going to go get something to eat. We're going to go shopping, get you a new outfit. Just little things like that. I had no clue they were coming, but they came like a surprise, and that just won my heart because my dad cared about the things I cared about, which was really good. Okay, then another little thing I wanted to share with you is my dad's love for the Word. And that really grabbed my heart as a young girl because I saw my dad spend hours of studying and his time in the Word and carrying his Word around. And I can honestly tell you that I watched that. And he gave me a love for the Word. And I'm so thankful for the Word of God, Dad, because it keeps me now. And it keeps me through the hard circumstances and the things I've gone through in life, because his word is yes and amen, and his word is faithful. And I just want to encourage us today, all of us, to have a love for the word, because your children will watch, and it's really important. Okay, and I'm going to wrap this up here really quick. The other little thing was Dad had a heart to love and serve others, and we got to watch that when we saw him serving widows, and we saw him serving people who needed a place to stay, and they'd move in with us for 6 months. You know, those are the things that mattered, and I saw that the life wasn't so much about us, it was about serving others. And still to this day, I can honestly say that my dad, if I call him in a moment, he's there. Still to this day, he's in the car, he's to me, he's right there to get us through whatever it is or whatever I need, even if it's just a ride. So my dad had the strength to love well, and he caught my heart from a young age. Here's a couple things I learned. I learned not to give up when raising my own children. Even when disappointments come while raising my children, I made a choice to love well and love one with my own children. And my children are raised now, they're in their 30s, and I honestly can say love one. It honestly won through everything that I've had to go raising my own children. I learned not to focus on the rough places in my own children's life. I learned to focus on the immense amount of God's love for my children. Doesn't mean that the rough places weren't hard, but let's put it this way. The rough places grew my capacity to love. When I had to go through those things, it made me love better, and I had to learn how to love better, which was really good. So, couple last things. Love builds a bridge of trust. Love is a resource of our hearts to build a bridge of trust to our children's heart. Love will build a bridge of trust to anyone's heart. And then, obey and you will stay in Christ's love. Obeying God's command to lovingly train and teach our children will equip them with emotional skills to love others well. And when your children are grown, they will want to come home to be loved and to be loved. Obey and you will stay in Christ's love. And that obedience is obey to lovingly train your children, and you will win them. And then the last thing here is grow your capacity to love. When we grow our capacity to love and to be loved by a Father God, our children will have a model of their Heavenly Father's love to emulate. So I just want to just encourage us to have the strength to love well. Mostly I want to thank God because he loves us so well. And that's the only way we can really do it. Right, dads? Is his immense amount of love for us. So that was my little spill in the huddle a few weeks ago. And I just want to say, dads, you are loved well.
Amen. So we hear that, we get inspired, we get ideas, and what happens, right? In my life, you know, when I realize, okay, I get the come to Jesus meeting with Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, you know, you gotta love well, Justin, with your kids. And so I get excited, I get all ready to go, and then I'm faced with my own shortcomings. I'm faced with my temper. I'm faced with my own failures. I'm faced with the fruit in my kids' life doesn't match the fruit that I want to exist in their life. Right? There's these things that happen, and what is it? And I believe that there's scriptural answers for these types of things. And in James 4, 1 and 2, it says this, and again, I'm reading out of the message today, but it says this, it says, where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way. You fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have, and you're willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. So what is it that opposes that love? What is it that opposes the ability to love well? And at the end of the day, James nails it. And it's this. The thing that opposes love is lust. And I'm not talking a sexual lust this morning. I'm not talking about lust in the terms of a physical sense or a sexual sense. But lust, right? Your own desire. The things that you want. The things that you think they should be, those are the things that oppose loving well. Well, this morning for our for dads, right? Not just the things that you desire, but what are the things that you desire for your kids? Because desire is a good thing, amen? Desire is a great thing. But how many of you know if your desire for your kids gets in front of God's desire for your kids, it can become an idol. It can become a distraction. So when I say lust or desire, what are the things that you desire for your kids? Because this, I know we can so get focused on what we want our kids to be. When they grow up, we want them to be good things. Is it good to have desire for your kids? Yes. Sometimes we get so focused on the end result that we miss the process. Here's what I know about the process. Love happens in the process. The process, the end result of them becoming what God's called them to be and where they are now, the middle point, the process is where loving well happens. Listen, in that process, dads, it's where you will apply the glue that you've chosen to parent your kids with. Will it be the glue that binds everything together? It will be the lust, the desire, the things that you want for your kids. Right? That is challenging to me this morning. Because loving well has everything to do with living in between the milestones, in between the big moments. You know, we talk about lust and we talk about love. And here's what I know about lust is temporary. Lust is instant gratification, right? Desire is, I want it now, and I'm going to get it now. But how many of you know there is long-term effects from quick decisions, right? So when we talk about lust and instant gratification, there is a big difference between doing something in the moment and living with that decision. I don't know if you've ever had to buy imitation glue. It may work for a while, but it doesn't stand the test of time. Right? The desires, the things that we have for our kids. And I think, dads, this is something that we all struggle with because we all want our kids to succeed. Right? We all want our kids to be the best version of themselves. But we can't allow those things to become our focus. Because when those things are our focus, we're going to end up missing their heart. And that's to love well. You know, I was reading the word, and I'm going to have the worship team just come up, and we're just going to end in worship today. So worship team, you can come. But Carrie Ann said that there's something that happens when we get a revelation of God's love for us. Right? That out of that, when you have the revelation of who God is to you, when you have the revelation of what God has done for you, it will change how you become a husband. It will change how you become a father. It will change how you parent your kids. When you encounter God's love and you are confident in God's love, you get to sit back and you get to watch transformation happen in the life of your kids. In Proverbs 14, it says this, and this is what I want to leave you dads with, and Noah, you can just begin to play. But starting with verse 26, and it says this, it says, confidence and strength flood the hearts of the lovers of God who live in awe of Him. And their devotion provides their children with a place of shelter and security. Listen, dads, this morning, your devotion to God, your devotion to stand in awe of who God is, will provide your children a place of security and a place of shelter. Right? Your relationship with God, your ability to stand in awe of His love will provide your kids the stability that they need. So dads, stand strong today. Dads, love well. Dads, serve well. Dads, walk in the revelation. Experience the revelation for yourself today. Because that will be a shelter. That will be a place of strength for your kids. for the rest of their life. Would you stand up with me today? You guys can just play. I just want to pray over our dads this morning. So, Father God, I thank you for our fathers that are in this room today. Father, I thank you that you've encouraged us and you've said, I want you to be fathers who love well. God, thank you for loving us well. Father, I pray that we would be men, that we would be parents, men and women, Father, who can walk in the love that you have for us that will bind everything together. Father, that we would not, that we would resist our own desires. Father, that the desires that we have for our kids would not override your desires for them. Father, I pray over every dad today, Father, that their relationship with you would be one who they stand in awe of you. And Father, I'm grateful that that provides strength to our kids. Father, I ask that you would encourage any weary dad today. Father, any dad that has a hard time just living in the moment and enjoying the process, Father, forgive us for getting so focused on the end result that we miss what you're doing today. We miss what you're doing in the process. Father, give us dads and parents strategy, just like Carrie Ann talked about, to love well. Amen. Can we sing this chorus, Noah? Come on, let's sing this chorus as we close today.
So be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord of all. Unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven, singing worthy, Lord of all. So be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy.
God, I just pray a special blessing upon our dads today. Father, that they would be encouraged, that they would be strengthened. Father, that they would feel your strength to continue to love well. And God, we thank you for the fathers. We thank you for the spirit of fathering. And God, we're thankful that love binds everything and keeps everything together. Father, would we walk out of here walking in your love? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to have, if all the dads can remain standing, everyone else can take a seat. Our kids just have a special gift for all the dads. So dads, just stay standing until you get one. But it's King for a Day. And so just a little treat. You don't even have to share it this morning if you don't want to. But happy Father's Day, dads. We love you. As you get your candy, you can be dismissed. Have a great day.